Hello again, everybody. This is James Bartley, and you're watching and listening to the Cosmic Switchboard Show. Today, I have old friend Evie Lorgan back on the show to talk about a variety of issues. A lot going on in the world and in the cosmos. So, who better to have than someone with the depth of insight that Evie Lorgan has? So, without any further ado, Evie, welcome back to the Cosmic Switchboard Show.
It's always a pleasure to talk with you again and update on recent things. I'll just let you tell me what you want to talk about because I'm kind of open and I would rather have you start and then I'll just what's on the top of my head, really.
Well,
So, yeah.
one of the things that's topical these days is the, in our field anyway, is the deaths and the disappearances of a number of people alleged to, excuse me, have had inside knowledge of either alien technology programs or zero point energy, free energy type research, advanced plasma physics research, etc. And although that is sad, and it is also infuriating that all these people out there that may have known something, and I guess the powers that be decided they were a liability for knowing certain things, and maybe they were monitoring their communications, and it seemed that these people were fit a psychological profile, let's say, and also based on their communications intercepts that they would likely talk about this information. But I wanted to remind people, especially in the wider field that don't specialize in what we do, that these deaths and disappearances in our field have been going on for a long time. You and I personally know people that have had untimely deaths, Barbara Bartlett, Carla Turner, Charlotte Boudreau, and others, and I'll just say Marianne, but I won't say her last name. Other people that we know have had untimely deaths. Sometimes there was definitely a deep black involvement in some of their lives, but also some of them have been taken out, I feel, by the aliens themselves. So I just wanted your thoughts on that because, just to provide some depth of insight because this is not a new syndrome. People that have been deemed a threat to the system. You look at Dr. James McDonald, atmospheric physicist who was blowing the whistle in the 60s, and he was suicided right at a time he was warning about the dangers of UFOs causing blackouts on the electric grid. And we have John Ford, the president of the Long Island UFO Network. He's still in detainment because he and his team were uncovering a lot of information about a UFO crash retrieval at South Haven Park in the early 1990s in Long Island. And Paul Benowitz, I can go on and on, but I just wanted your thoughts on that, Evie.
I had some thoughts recently, although I don't know why I've got this idea in mind. I think it's based on a, I'm going to call it a dream that I had, but I don't think it was a dream that I had recently, like in the past 2.5 weeks, past 3 weeks. And I made me wonder, like many of the scientists who recently have gone, maybe in the past 2 years or less, what kind of team would they create of expertise that could do something pretty phenomenal for the world or in a situation of danger to the earth or to the world? And what if they were taken by a group, what if they wanted to have them work together towards a particular project and then like fake their deaths and just be, actually use them as a kind of collective team for something. And I don't know why that idea kind of just popped in my head. And I'm just going to tell you the dream I had because, well, I'm going to call it a dream. Because there was a man in there who looked like David Wilcock, and this was before he left, before he was gone. And the dream started out. They're kind of like when you're taken out of the body to another dimensional reality in a particular ability exists in this reality. So the dream was that I was taken to a house. It was actually a residence somewhere. And I don't know if it was in Canada, but I felt like it was in a place where with somebody I knew who was there with another man. And they were sent in this private residence to try to tune in and either offset or investigate a portal that was opening up in this particular location. And it was like in the middle of the night, so it was still really dark, kind of dark outside. And I remember looking out a window that was in the room and seeing the window was kind of shaded by some leaves that were moving by the wind. And it was basically kind of darkish, like a, 4 in the morning kind of feel. And then the people's faces, I was getting a sense of a bad, basically bad vibe, like trouble, like whatever this was. This portal was, it was like something trying to inch in on reality to create a dimensional rip or a portal. And they were like grimacing in their faces, trying to use their powers, their psychic powers or whatever, to either investigate what it was or to keep it at bay because they weren't sure what it was. And then when it felt like really dangerous, like this is not good, they don't open the portal, right? Then all of a sudden, I just ended up in this other environment that was like an underground base or a military installation, like a secret one. Where it was a big room that was kind of semicircular seating, so it would be made for a lot of people to have a kind of like a meeting. And there were several scientists there, many scientists and engineers and techie types and military types. And I remember there was a group of highly trained martial artists there who had a particular trainer. He was Asian, kind of almost like Indonesian or a semi-Asian culture. Wearing black, and they had like these uniforms, and he had all his team with him, including some women. And I remember, like, somehow I was getting this knowledge that this big dimensional rip was about to happen, and they were trying to stop this dimensional rip opening up. And the martial artists were like the highest trained, so that they were pulled in as like a very skilled group. But something inside me knew that they'd all die. That like they're not going to be able to protect whatever this is, this force. And so the whole thing that I did while I was there, I was just praying in the name and authority of Jesus Christ to be present to prevent this dimensional rip from occurring, to like break. It was almost like breaking up reality. Something bad was trying to come in, so they're trying to pull in all the experts. And so I remember there was some engineers and men sitting on the side, and some man who was wearing this blue shirt, and it kind of had like the David Wilcock look with the blonde hair, and he was saying, "Hey, sit over here, sit next to me." So I went and sat next to him, and then I was just praying and praying, that whatever I knew what to do to offset this force that was trying to basically create a rift in reality. And then I just kind of woke up like that was strange. And then, some days after that, 2 days after that, I had another dream of a well-known political figure saying something and acknowledging what happened the night before. That, thank you for being helpful or whatever it was. And I'm like, is this a dream or what? But what was strange is when I heard about David Wilcock, I'm like, that's weird, because I could swear like I saw him in a dream, and it seemed real. It seemed like they were actually trying to prevent a dimensional rift. But what they did before that is they called in all the experts in almost every field that they could to try to basically problem solve, to prevent this dimensional rip from happening. But apparently it started in a private residence, and then it was spreading and opening up into other areas where it'd be in a really large area. But then I think it was sealed up and it was contained. But it made me wonder that, what about all these scientists? Maybe there's a thing where their expertise is needed, and they're just basically their deaths are faked, and they're all whisked off somewhere else underground or wherever to be used as a team on certain projects where they don't have a choice. They're just pulled in to be scientists, just kind of like under threat or whatever. Because I just had that feeling, and I have no proof whatsoever. It's just something that came up in my intuitive process, because I don't think that David Wilcock would necessarily do that on purpose. I didn't know him, but I did know people. Remember in the old days when we had our support groups in Fallbrook, California, back in the day, all right, in the 90s and early 2000s, one of my neighbors, her name was Jamie. I won't say her last name. She's passed on now. She died of cancer like 2 years ago. But her first husband was Mark McCandlish. Okay, so she met him because he worked at JPL with her father. So they lived in like Pasadena or whatever, and both that's how she knew him, but he was a scientist. And so Mark McCandless was the one who did all those really good drawings of alien craft and, you know, the military. And he, I think, observed it in a hangar and then did all these drawings for other people. And so he was going to do a disclosure presentation based on his observation and his artwork and his drawings, you know, some years ago. It was before Jamie died, probably over 5 years ago. But then he supposedly went outside and shot himself, like, you know, a few months before this disclosure conference thing. And I remember Jamie was like, that wasn't him. He's not going to kill himself. I think that they take over their mind and they do something, or they, I don't know if they put in a clone or what they do, and then they make that one disappear. So they take the real one and whisk him off somewhere else. Because I remember talking to a super soldier years ago who was, what is it? His code name was Jared, and he was this guy who was a prototype for some of the early super soldiers who, long story short, he remembered that he was taken on ops with military, working in conjunction with aliens, abducting humans. And then when they were on the ship, part of their job was to give the human abductees choices of which screen memories they wanted, so that they wouldn't remember what really happened on the abductions that happened with aliens and human military working in conjunction, using these MK Ultra super soldier types to help in the abductions. So, you know, some of these people, and then he would tell me that, oh, a lot of times they were given the choice that, well, if you want to work with us permanently, like off world or underground, or, you know, because they had abilities or they knew, you know, or were doing jobs like that. So that's a possibility. Oh, did we not? Oh.
Can you see me?
Did it
You
not?
pause. Your screen froze for a moment, but
Now my internet's unstable. Well, maybe I'm not supposed to talk about this. Well, you
it
know,
started getting a
new.
little wonky right when you told that story about Jared. And
Oh, okay.
well, the
I
same
can
thing
remember.
happened. Helga Moro's dad, they faked his death because he had become, from their point of view, unstable and therefore a liability, because he
Yeah.
had that moment of crisis, probably more than one, where Helga found him in the living room, head and
Yeah.
hands. But I'm sorry, I'm fighting off a bug. It's starting to get cold at our end.
No.
And he was just saying over and over, everything is a lie. Everything is a lie. Oh, history is a lie. Everything is a lie. Because up to that point, and we're talking the 1960s, her dad was working to help assimilate human-looking aliens into human society. That was one of his jobs. And
Okay.
what happened was the powers that be faked his death, or he managed to escape into another dimension. And I'll get to that. I've told the story before, but it bears repeating.
I remember.
Yeah,
Yeah.
they even went to the trouble of having a funeral for him. And the pallbearers were these military spook-looking guys that nobody in the family knew. It was not an open casket, so they could not confirm whether he was in there or not. And before he died, quote unquote, they thrown him into an asylum, a loony bin for a while, right?
Oh,
So,
wow.
and he had worked closely with John von Neumann and other people in these
Yeah.
projects, and
Yeah.
so he's dead, supposedly. They have the funeral for him with these mystery military spooks as the pallbearers. And then sometime later, Helga was still young at the time, in her 20s, thereabouts. She's going through a moment of crisis. And then a light appears in her bedroom at night. And within the light is her father. And he's saying,
Oh.
I'm safe. I'm not on Earth anymore. I'm somewhere else, implying perhaps another dimension. He said, I'm keeping an eye on you. If you really, really need to talk to me in an emergency, call out to me and I'll come back, but only if it's an emergency, right? So he'd found this means to egress into another dimension, to get away, basically. And in order to explain away his disappearance, the state went to the tr trouble of doing this whole phony, funeral.
I just had the feeling that something like that was going on, and it was just a strong and, well, more than intuition, because I just kind of felt like that was not just a dream that I had, just based on the feel of it and then what happened afterwards. But I can't prove anything, but I do know that people have been given the choice who worked in these capacities, even as super soldiers who really didn't have a choice. They were just kind of put into a program and then just kind of ended up doing these things until they woke up and they decided not to play ball anymore. But they were actually used to do abductions for aliens working with humans to abduct humans for whatever. And then they would just, because they're human, the humans respond to humans better than aliens. And so they'll like, oh, okay, how did it go? Well, which memory would you choose? You know, well, before we let you go, what are you going to remember? And you get their choice of screen memory. But one of the things that he did share, which I'll repeat, is that oftentimes they are given the choice. Well, if you want to work with us permanently, we can, supplant you with a clone and then kill the clone, set it up in an accident, create a funeral, fake the death, and then use you permanently, but you could never come back, is the thing. And then you work with them permanently underground. So I'm thinking, even with some of those missing scientists from years ago, you know, they might have had a need for them and they just kind of basically got abducted as a type of slave, because maybe jointly they had all the skills needed for a particular project that they felt was so important that they could just do whatever they want, including faking their deaths. So who knows? I don't know if that happened with Carla Turner or some of the others that we've known,
They
because
were
even
taken
people.
out by aliens themselves. I think the
Yeah,
aliens
because
took them out.
because I'm re-editing and updating and adding a lot more material to The Love Bite, which I'm still working on, and it's like pretty much done. But many of them, you know, that are the original cases, like Donna, which in the book is Darlene, and I remember her encounter, like, well, it was an abduction, but it was a bedroom encounter with a type of very, very tall alien she called the Tall Pinkies.
Yeah, the
And they were a very
pinkies.
unusual type whose like eyes were as big as a fist and black. And they did this snake charm thing where they would go back and forth and like put her into a trance. And then she came back with like black eyes and then pressure on the brain. And she had to go to the doctor. And then the doctor thought she was being abused at home. And then the military abducted her not long after that to probably find out what the hell happened with the Tall Pinkies. And then, you know, probably interrogated her, like, who are these beings? Because they always have to find out if it's not within the protocol while these people are taken. So they interrogate them. So I think that's what happened to her. But she always had health problems ever since that. And she had witches come and try to attack her in the hospital room when she came down with this serious sudden pneumonia before we were supposed to meet and go to Las Vegas, remember? So she had all these strange things like attacks by witches and then, you know, unusual illnesses and unusual beings that came to her, even in the high desert with another man that she was dating, who were very tall and broad-shouldered. And then she experienced radiation burns on her skin afterwards. And so she had to go to the doctor for that. And then the doctor thought that, you know, I don't know what they thought. They thought she was being abused because she reacted to the light like an abused person would be, like, you know, don't touch me. And they never really could figure it out. I think they just wanted to keep lids on the medical evidence that many abductees are. They're basically medical evidence if people knew what to look for. And I think that's why some of them are taken out, actually.
That's because they're walking, talking, like evidentiary proof that something is going on. People just don't come down with radiation poisoning unless they're exposed to ionizing radiation of some kind. When Larry Warren left the Air Force with an honorable discharge, his doctor asked him if he'd ever been exposed to a nuclear device because of the radiation poisoning he suffered. And I remember, speaking of our friend, who you just referenced, she had gotten into a relationship with a guy who I'm trying to remember, but he worked for the feds either as a federal firefighter, because she was a firefighter, right? And then she got involved with a guy who was of Native American descent, and they were out there at night somewhere in the high desert, and then they had this joint experience together.
Yes,
And
that's
yeah, I
fun.
think she showed us the radiation marks, and I think she showed us photos too. When the radiation marks were brand new, and we're talking about like a huge swath on her back, if you remember that, just it just didn't look natural that someone could have such an outcome normally, and it had to have been as a result of the radiation poisoning of some kind. I'm reminded of the case in Louisville, if memory serves, where the three women were abducted. They were coming back from a local restaurant celebrating the birthday of one of them, and then they all came down with radiation poisoning. I mean, it does happen. So yes, the possibility that some of these people are still being held in confinement, basically, and forced to work for them, I definitely believe that's a possibility. And also, what backs that up in a way is their tendency for some time now. David Adair was a classic example of this, but there have been others where they like to find people early in life who have this aptitude. Their brains are not all like clouded with all this dogma from mainstream science, so they're a lot more open to things. And of course, David was working with plasma propulsion systems as a young boy, right? So they pulled him in the system. The point of relevance is they like them to get them in there ideally young, which is what we see with my labs, right?
Of course, you have to get them
They
young.
pulled in so they can keep them in the project longer, and they're loath to lose these people. Look what happened with Lorena, when her daughter, I'm not going to mention her name, she's an adult now, but she was in the process of being trafficked, right? By that individual. He even got a passport in her name
I
or in
remember
some
that.
other name. And look at the classic profile. This guy, black gentleman, I shouldn't call him a gentleman, but he was a photographer, and
Yeah, he was
he wanted to make
modeling
wanted to pull
teenagers
her
and
into modeling, right? And then in the recent past, we have the story of Erica Kirk, like grooming this 15-year-old girl to go to a modeling session. Well, we heard something similar from our own friend Lorena. And also the ability of naval intelligence then, and probably to this day, to use a looking glass technology. They told her, Lorena, that he's going to make off with her. He's got a passport for her. He's
I
going to
forgot
flee
about that.
tomorrow. Remember that? And then she told the
Danger.
police. She told the police, and based on the looking glass info that Lorena was given by the Navy, the same ones that were abducting us back in the day, and along with Lorena and Craig and Donna, right? We're all getting these MyLab group training things together. She gave the information to the cops, and they got him right when he was taken off with her. And he had a passport in her name. She's white. The kidnapper was black. And how does that happen? He had to have connections high up if he's going to have an actual passport, right? So he was in the process of trafficking her. But see, the Navy told Lorena, and it's not necessarily because they had altruistic motives. Oh, we got to stop all this child trafficking, right? That may not have been the issue. The issue was, Lorena told me, if that guy had made off with her daughter, she would have just killed herself because she wouldn't have been able to cope. And so that was perhaps a motivating factor for naval intelligence to say, no, we're going to stop this from happening. Otherwise, Lorraine is going to top herself, and we're going to lose ourselves an asset. You know what I mean? So,
Yeah, I remember what Lorena said. It was her daughter had a teenage friend that she went to school with, and that daughter's friend, who was a girlfriend, her mom was dating this man. Who was the predator, and trying to chum up with the mom as a dating relationship while really having the eyes on the daughter and then Lorena's daughter too, and then setting them up by being the boyfriend, and that's how he did it. But the other detail too about Donna, in the book, in my book Love Bite, it's mentioned as the man that she was dating. He worked in a government, secret government kind of capacity in the high desert, and his name was Will in the book, not his real name. But one of the things that happened is that after they had that UFO incident where she had the radiation burns, he was warned off by his, commanding officers or whatever to not see her anymore.
Yes, I
Basically,
remember
just
that now. Yes.
the love bite was basically, it's not a love bite. They basically cut off the relationship because Donna was like a no-go. Like, you don't deal with this woman because, she was always having encounters, and maybe he just was warned off. And he was scared anyway when that happened because, they definitely saw three different tall alien beings, and they just popped. They just basically materialized out on the road after they saw the craft, So that was interesting.
I'm trying to remember where. I think it was somewhere near Fort Irwin, but which is
Yes.
notorious. There's a big underground base there, and they've long been involved in spooky activities in that area. So, yes, she was involved with him. He had some kind of federal background. I was trying to remember. Thank you for refreshing my memory. And he was warned off because it was clear to the powers that be was th that she was clearly one of us, my lab type, being using these ops, and then they had their hooks in him for some specific purpose. They got together, and then they have that encounter at the Fort Irwin Reservation, and then they both come down with radiation poisoning, and they told him to back off and have nothing to do with her. So we're bringing all these issues up to our viewing and listening audience to show that there are a number of factors behind this. That sometimes, like in the case of Helga Moro's father, they went to the trouble of making it appear like he had died when he'd been in the loony bin for a long time in detainment. And then, they make it seem as if he died, go to the trouble of having a funeral. Then later on, he appears to her like from another dimension to let her know that he was still alive. So, somewhere else, though. So, yeah, it's a mixed bag what's going on. So, people need to keep an open mind about this. And it just underscores the fact that the powers that be, these deep black military aerospace agencies involved in all this, they're not going to let go of this easily. And we
Well, I
have
mean,
this soft
yes,
disclosure
sure.
with with going on with Congress, and now they're spinning it out. Everything is demons. You notice that, right? UFOs have been just relegated to the drone category. They can't use weather balloons anymore. So they got to call him something, right?
I was trying to remember something else, but it slipped my mind. But there was another dream that we had, I thought we'd share on the show because it seemed, I didn't think it was just a dream. It was one of those, I'll just call it a maybe an astral experience or other dimensional experience that felt you and I were in the dream as well as many others. And I shared this with you privately, and I thought I could share it again because I felt like, oh, I think there's something to this. And it could be just a dream. But we were at a large event that's like a dance. But bigger than a formal dance for like a school, but more of a larger institutional gathering where many young adults, like teenagers and even earlier than teens, would go to this dance where they would meet people from other, it was actually other star systems and planets, I guess, where they would meet, and then they're, I don't know, their leaders or whatever who was watching over them, whether it was a school or a group, they would try to match them up. So they would have a dance where, the kid would ask another, girl to dance or whatever, and they would be dancing in this like big celebration kind of thing where many different people, but they were from different places. So it was almost like a, I don't know what, a Star Wars or a Stargate Dune kind of set up where it was a grand, almost like a grand ball, but more for young adults and almost children, so that they would try to match them up early in life from these different systems because they had abilities. So they were basically trying to pre-love bite them and get them off in these early marriage or connections with these ruling families that had agendas in these other systems that were actually, a lot of them were dominated. Like, we are under the domination system of some of the reptilian Draco and some of these other beings. So in the dream, it was Asian, part Asian boy and a girl. And I thought it was your son, actually. But they were trying to set up this boy and girl who they wanted to set him up with someone else. And we were like rooting and praying, like, no, like avoid him, avoid him. And they were trying to like set up this couple who was like prepubescent. They were really young. And then luckily that they didn't have an attraction for one another, and we were glad that they didn't set them up. But when we were at this event, there was other adults there who might have been parents of some of the children. And then there was this woman who we had known through some kind of, you knew her actually from some kind of connection. And she was from another system, and beautiful blonde woman with this kind of a flowing pastel robe. And she was like someone who was in like a MyLab program in a star system planet world that was also under domination, but she was waking up and she had abilities. And so we were trying to get her on our side to basically defect against the ruling controllers in her system so that we could all work with our abilities to how to actually free us all when these events would take place, to try to stop like the love bite setups of these young children and young adults, so they wouldn't be taken over to work for the controlling, dominating system. So we're basically trying to stop all those pre-love bite kind of things happening on a grander scale. So it was like, oh my God, and then we saved that one Asian boy from meeting, somebody they were trying to set him up with. So I just had to share that because it could be like a TV show you'd see on Dune or Stargate or something.
Well,
I don't know. I just.
that's what they used to do with our accounts, if you remember, back in the day. Where was it, Marina Del Rey or some other university or college in California, where they have a NSA facility? Go figure. A lot of our emails back in the day were being side routed to that place because there was no social media back then. There was only bulletin boards and endless email daisy chains with amongst us that were having these experiences in high desert together. And all this information was going over there, to the NSA basically. So what we noticed, a pattern, was based on our email traffic, the experiences we were sharing and comparing notes about. Because remember how it was, some of us would wake up, like particularly Lorena, with more conscious recall than the rest of us, and then we'd either get on the phone and or have these email daisy chains going where we're comparing notes. Do you remember this? Do you remember what happened last night? Blah, blah, blah. Well, we started seeing the exact same themes that we had brought up in those email daisy chains in science fiction shows. So
Oh,
it was
God.
like they
Like
were,
that.
it
On
was like they were.
X-Files, Donna Hendershot's name was on an X-File episode. And then there
Really?
was a whole love bite one with the Rainmaker, the Rain Man, who was one quarter Cherokee and was very much like somebody we know. And they were making it a spoof on a love bite thing with this woman and the Rainmaker. And but there were several, like one of them, her woman, her name was literally Hendershot, which was Donna's last name. And
Yes.
she was a contactee on one of those episodes. And like, but I think Tal was telling them, what to do. They were seeing all our stuff. But on that same note, someone that I mentioned to you just before our show, who has been corresponding with me, we're corresponding a lot of stuff, and email is easily hacked. It doesn't matter really. I mean, it is what it is. But she started seeing our correspondences between me and this other woman about private things we're talking about end up on Facebook posts where people are trying to claim it as their own and then put it on their own channels. Literally things that we're talking about that others are make claiming as their own.
Yeah.
So they find ways to hack into email
Well, there was
conversations.
this, if, I don't know if she's still around or she passed away or not, but if you remember back in those email kind of groups that were set up back then, pre-social media, there was one gal, all I'll say is her first name, Joni, but she was a whack job. I never knew her, but I was part of some of these groups. And then she gave me a ration of crap saying that I'd stolen one of her experiences. When it was an experience, she's so stupid. She thinks that all of her experiences are one-offs. No one ever has anything happen that's remotely similar to what she's gone through, which is nonsense. A lot of us go through
Yeah,
similar
have
things because
similar.
there's an overall protocol pattern that we kind of fall into. And without knowing anything about her and experience at all, Because she was always talking about, oh, star school, we get abducted or we're taken at night and then we're taught by the aliens and there's little kids there. All that stuff does happen. But it isn't some kind of like, summer school kind of escapade. You know what I mean? There's some deep, dark undertones as far as some of it is concerned. But anyway, the experience that Donna Hendershot and I had together, and I talked about this before, but it bears repeating. We were taken before what appeared to be a very tall human military general, and then two other officers of lower rank that were on either side of him. The commanding officer was in the center, standing in front of a lectern, a dais, right? And very common with the reptilians, too, because it turned out that there were reptilians pretending to be human military. Where you'll see one taller than the others, and then there's two more, and they pretty much look identical, which is b bad cover, right? Because if you're semi-lucid, you'll notice, well, these guys look really much alike, except the leader seems to be a little taller than the other two, right? And in some of my experiences, they were even dressed alike, aside from dressed in military garb. But anyway, the general, quote unquote, was berating Donna and I. We were standing before them. I was semi-lucid, and so was Donna. And this general was berating the both of us. How come you know so much?
No, really.
Why are you doing all this? Blah, blah, blah. And then I remember distinctly looking over at Donna looking over at me, and we both agreed, this is not a dream. This is a real
Oh,
experience.
yeah.
And
Right.
so I
Okay.
wrote about it later. If you remember our friend Cassie, she was part of that these different Facebook, now there was no Facebook back then, but these different internet email groups, right?
There. Yeah.
And then she shared my experience, and then next thing you know, this Joanie whack job woman starts like flaming me, saying I stole her story. No, that happened to me, right? I didn't know what happened to her. I didn't care what happened to her, right?
Yeah.
Why should I care? But that happened to me. So she's implying that, well, it's a one-off. I only have stuff happen to me. No one else goes through the same thing, which is nonsense. A lot of us
Yeah.
have been subjected to the exact same crap. And so
Yeah.
that's what happened. Where these, and the reason I know that they're reptilians was just with their behavior, their vibe, their energy. And then years later, these reptilians, I'm not going to get into it. It's a long, convoluted story, kind of, but they were manipulating me in the astral dreamscape. And if you remember that tiny studio apartment I lived at in San Diego, with the huge, windows there, and my bed was right next to the window. And in the dream, this taller Filipino-looking guy, dressed in this tight-fitting, weird yellow-brown outfit, and he had these two underlings that looked just like him, but they were slightly smaller, right, shorter, and they were both getting on my nerves, giving me dirty looks. They were trying to bait me. And so eventually, in the dream, I was talking to Barbie in a cafeteria of a work environment, workplace, right? And I was telling her that these three reptilians pretending to be human at this job site. And they're starting to get on my nerves. And finally, because I was talking to Barbie about certain things which were really pissing them off, finally,
Oh,
I just put the phone down and I lunged at the leader, right? And then
wow.
I come to, my face glancing off the windows right next to my bed.
Oh.
And outside the window, it would have been a one-story drop down to the patio of the
Oh.
unit below. So they were trying to bait me into jumping
Oh.
through the window and killing
Oh
myself,
my
right?
God. Wow.
Fortunately, I bounced off of it. But the point of relevance is, it was that pattern of three again. The one that was taller,
Oh.
who was the leader, so-called, and then the two underlings who looked just like him, even dressed alike, but
Huh.
they were like subordinate, similar to the reptilian dressed as a general, and then his two flunkies dressed as colonels, right? So anyway, this Joanie woman tried to say I was stealing an F off. Who the
I
hell does she think
suppose,
she is?
yeah. But not when it has a specific name of a particular character on X-Files with the same name, that is an unusual name. I mean,
Undershot,
to me,
yes.
Yeah, that's like her name was Hendershot for crying out loud, and I'm like, oh my God. But that's
Well, that's how
beyond.
they inoculate the public, to use
Yeah.
a term,
So they don't take
because,
you serious.
yeah,
Yeah.
we have these experiences, we share them, we're trying to suss them out. And then the monitors are reading the traffic in real time. Oh, we can turn this into a TV story or a cinematic release. People see it, and then they hear us, or they catch wind of our discussions about these very same topics because we live through them. And then they can say, oh, you got that from a TV show. Yeah, but what came first, the chicken or the egg? We had the
Right.
experiences. They read our comms, and now they turn it into a TV show. Of course, we get no royalty checks out of it. That's part of the deal, right?
Know, flipping everybody off. You know, it's too bad, you know.
And you brought up some
Boy.
key issues, because that first issue, dream, so-called, that you related about seeing that Wilcock looking guy and
Yeah, that was
them
weird that
trying to
it was
open
like.
a portal. It reminds me, on the one hand, of H.P. Lovecraft, the old ones coming in from some other dimension to finally completely take over this place. It's pretty
Yeah.
much taken over already, but also, all these issues related to CERN, the veils between the worlds getting thinner. We're having more and more
Yeah.
cryptid reports, more and more phenomena all across the board. So, whatever,
Yeah.
let's say for the sake of argument that what you experience, I have no reason to doubt it, were real, objectively real experiences at some level of reality. Maybe they
Yeah.
needed your abilities to keep that darn thing closed, because clearly something is trying to get in. And then it harkens back to all these stories about CERN, Arizona Wilder talking about in her ceremonies as a mother goddess opening portals, and they're getting instruction from reptilians from some other dimension, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. And it was interesting though, because I was in the dream, I was being told that, you know, like all these experts that they brought in, you know, they have a mindset. Like they think the scientists are smarter, or the engineers, or these martial arts who are the super duper of, you know, and then whatever was talk, I don't know, a guide or just telling me, and they're all gonna die. They think they're qualified. They're all gonna die. Because they don't have the power to deal with that, whatever it was. And you know, I was just like praying and with faith in Christ, and most of them didn't believe in Christ, you know, they're whatever. But hey, maybe that's just my belief system, but I believe that the power of Christ is the strongest that I've found. And that's what I was doing in the dream, you know, praying and fending it off, basically fending off this rip. It was a dimensional tear. It wasn't just a portal. It was something more serious,
Yeah, like a
in my view.
vortex,
Yeah.
a rip in space that's allowing, or potentially going to allow, something to come in.
Yeah. So, trying to think of something else that came up. It was actually in a interview, not an interview, but a presentation that was my, I think it was in LA not long ago, a conference where I saw it on UMAN TV. And there was several people at the conference, like Billy Carson, you know, the Bashar, the original Bashar, Linda Moulton Howe, and some others, another gentleman, I can't remember his name, but he had a Bent Waters kind of experience. But they were having a conversation about how years ago they knew that they were training these alien human-looking hybrids to, you know, be in society and stuff, and then how I guess the hypnotherapist was also talking about. Oh, this was the subject that came up that I wondered about. But they're, let's just say, most of them are pro benevolent ET. Let's not talk about the negative stuff, even though Linda Moulton Howe made some good points about the animal mutilations that, you know, she investigated early on, and some of these other more sinister things, and how, oh, but don't want to be fear-based. And so they're always trying to, like, almost like you have to walk on eggshells, not to talk about the negative things. You know, like, you know what? If they're talking about the alien human hybrids and trying to, you know, get them infiltrated in society comfortably, and that there's apparently maybe some good ones, but the ones that you have interviewed personally with experiencers, there's definitely a more, well, I would say a more malevolent type in terms of personality style. And those that are aligned with the more malevolent groups that are involved in human trafficking and the satanic ritual abuse Illuminati families allying with the reptilian Draco, those factions. So I think that that's being underplayed in this other belief system is being overplayed to make it seem like it's all good. But I wonder now, do they really have the protection against what we can come up against? That was just my thought. And then there's another thing that came up on the show I watched, and I posted on my Alien Love Bite channel, by the way. But there was a hypnotherapist, I don't know her name. She's probably famous in the newer crowds, working with many abductees that they now call contactees, who during their visitations or when the aliens are working on them, whether they're in the ship or in the room under hypnosis, they're reporting that they're being inoculated. Well, inoculated with what? What's the purpose? So what she stated was that, oh, well, the aliens are inoculating these people because in the near future, they're going to need to be protected from exposure to something when mass contact takes place, and that the ones who are normally immune to it are Rh negative. So they're inoculating the chosen abductees so they don't whatever, react to whatever they'd be exposed to in the near future. So I thought that was interesting. I don't know if it's true, but I was just told today by someone who is in contact with a particular type of being that she believes is benevolent. They're not necessarily aliens. She just calls them the monks of Enoch, but they're like brown robed ones that will give her information. And they haven't said anything that I found to be untrue yet. And they even appeared to me in a dream once already, but not in that form, just in the other form I just recognized by their feel. But they're claiming that the AI has been really the culprit while we're being distracted by all this alien stuff and the whatever the secret space program dramas, whatever's on these disclosure shows, where we're kind of being entertained and distracted while the big wigs in the world, you can call them the super duper billionaires and whoever beings are hosting them who have worked with AI, which is very, very ancient. There's really
Yeah,
nothing
data
new.
centers are going. These data centers are going up all over
Yeah.
the place.
Well, the AI is apparently planning to wipe out a large percentage of humanity with something, and I don't know what that something is, but there apparently is an antidote to that that she wanted to tell me about that these monks told her. And then I'm like, well, what is it? But I've been hearing about this whole, oh, the tick thing and the mosquito thing where they put them in a bioengineered virus so that when you get bit by one, anybody who eats red meat, pork, beef, venison, lamb, you can have a severe allergic reaction, maybe even die if you get bit by one of these bioengineered bugs that they're releasing out in the environment. But I have no idea if that's related to what was told to me just this morning, by the way. I said,
Well,
well, maybe
not
we
only that,
talk before.
not only are they releasing, this is a Bill Gates idea. He's one of the idiots who thought this up. Not only are they releasing bioengineered mosquitoes in order to inoculate people, is their fancy idea, but they're actually shooting up beef cattle and mutton and sheep that are to be slaughtered and consumed by the masses, and chicken as well. Right, they're shooting them up with all kinds of mRNA and all kinds of stuff, right? So they're seeding it into the food supply. And for people who don't know better, I mean, I'm one of those people that think that one of these big fast food chains, I won't say which one, it wouldn't surprise me if they had been inserting a lot of human let's say human byproducts into the
I've heard that too. Yeah.
into the food
Remember
supply.
Lorena was told by years ago. I remember Lorena was told by the military, I think it was. Oh, and that was years ago. Told her not to drink. It was like the blue Gatorade or the blue sports drinks or something. I don't know if there was any meat product, but they were warning her years ago not to drink the blue ones, something like that. And who knows? I don't know, but I just wondered about what that was, because apparently it was the artificial intelligence which has decided to wipe out humanity, which is part of the larger agenda through some mechanism. But whether or not it's related to who would be immune, such as certain select abductees who are select for the future survival as hybrids or as, Rh negs or inoculated ones or hybrids. But in my view, I'm seeing something that I find is disturbing, In terms of certain people who I think may already be like what Barbara Bartholet described in her Breeding Out of Love program, with some of them where certain qualities are being bred out of them, and they're not evil people, right? They're people who tend to have a kind of Asperger, disconnected from human relationship norms, and they would prefer to be with aliens and interacting with aliens, even sexually, and not have real human relationships, and just prefer and identify with being alien. And there's a kind of emotional flat affect quality of those that it's just like it's not normal for them to have like normal human relations. They really don't want them. They just want to be with the aliens and want to have sex with them, and maybe they just feel more comfortable in that type of interaction, and they don't even really identify with being human. And whether or not it's how they were brought up by the type of parents who were cold or indifferent or a particular religious faith, I don't know. I don't think that's relevant. But what I think is not helpful for people who've had experiences like abductions is when you're not able to openly talk about your experiences, even with your family, your parents, your friends, your spouses. It doesn't matter what kind of experience it is, but if we can be open about discussing it and just, hey, I had this dream, I don't know what it means, but I just like to share it with you. And you can be open about your experiences, whatever they are, then that opens up the human connection relationship element that is human. The human relationality. So, if there's a conditioned manipulation to prevent healthy relationships and healthy communications, even between parents and children, because there's this secrecy and this trauma and this amnesia, that to me is malevolent. Because they're trying to create someone who won't connect normally in relationship. And humans is all about relationship, relationship with one another, relationship with God, and identifying with this is that I keep bringing it back to. We identify with being original humans who have an eternal connection to God. That's our eternal true being. We are not alien. There's no reason to identify with aliens at all. See what I
Yes,
mean? They're
because
trying to.
that sure changes us. It's like we're comparing ourselves unfairly to beings that may have super advanced technology that they can utilize at will. And of course, in our current state, we're not there yet. It's being hoarded and kept from us. But somehow that makes us lesser than. You see, that goes back to the worshiping the gods of yore mentality. Oh, look, the gods can fly around in their ancient chariots and what have you, so they're of necessity superior to us, not from necessarily from a divine source perspective. So you're right, people need to get out of that mindset. Oh, they don't have to, but it's a free will zone.
Well, I mean, that's when you identify predators and like narcissistic abuse and narcissists. The one way to identify is that the erasure of your identity and your history to replace you with them and what they want you to be as their puppet. They want you to identify with them until they basically copy you over and you become one of them, which is not real, which is not the original. So everything's about like we need to identify what it really is original in us and stop identifying with them and being afraid to speak too much negativity because we're going to be walking on eggshells and be judged. Let's just
It's
say whatever it is.
amazing. It's amazing. Decades ago, when you and I had an abductee group and we also had a MyLab group, and the reason we put, especially the MyLab group together, because we only wanted to deal with the hardcore issues. We weren't too interested back then and to this day with this kind of airy fairy thing, like I'm somehow special because aliens chose me and they're trying to spiritually uplift me and. I don't know. It was all very Borg to me, right? A couple of quick points, touching on what you'd brought up earlier, before we end this first segment. I remember back in the day, in some of these mass, presumably MyLab abductee type settings in the underground bases, presumably underground beneath this planet, where we'd all be lined up, multiple rows of people, presumably people like us. And then we get to the front and there'd be like a little table there, and then there'd be like a nurse character, and that we would just take it in turns to get inoculated before we go into the facility, right? So it was almost as if my feeling at the time is, because I'd wake up with these puncture wounds and I'd wake up with these patterns,
That's my
a
hands.
diamond shaped pattern, which I can still see, right, on my left arm and bicep area. And it got me to wondering, well, if they're injecting something into us, what can it be? Are they trying to inoculate us with something, or are they putting some kind of precursor or something or other inside of us to make us more amenable to something else that we're going to be exposed to or injected with in the future, right? To derive some kind of outcome within and through us. So when you brought up the thing about the mass inoculations amongst certain people, certain presumably other abductees, that's what it reminded me of. And also, as far as the human looking aliens settling in the human society, I talked earlier about Helga Moro and how her dad was actually helping to train human looking aliens to assimilate into our society. And then I'd spoken to a gal who used to work under was regressed on numerous occasions by David Jacobs, and what came out of that's a whole nother story. But she was telling me that she was training rather human looking aliens or hybrids that looked human to assimilate into society. She'd go into their homes and teach them how to arrange things, arrange furniture, arrange pots and pans. She'd take them to stores and teach them how to purchase items and get the correct change back. And every once in a while, this one evil alien, human looking alien or hybrid, would announce his presence, just suddenly manifest in her house, screaming at her, and then just throw her down and rape her. Now, I've told the story in the past when I was going through all that harassment back in the day, well, one phase of that harassment anyway, and then parked in front of the headquarters at Comnav AirPac, Naval Air Station North Island, there was a white sedan in black letters on the side, United States Marine Corps, sitting in the passenger seat. I've always called him one of those hybrids, but he could just as easily been an evil Nordic alien, right?
That's true.
And he
Yeah, he
was
could be.
sitting there in the passenger seat, and he was giving me like this evil eye, which I could feel. He was pushing all these malevolent thoughts
Oh,
into my
yeah.
head of what he wanted to do to me. And then right next to him, and this was all for show and effect, right, was presumably a human handler driver in a woodland pattern camouflage uniform. He was so tall, I can only see up to his shoulder. He had this big old school walkie talkie he was talking into. Meanwhile, right next to him in a blue flight suit was this Nordic alien, let's say, just beaming all this hate at me. So here's an example where the twain meets surface level base. Here's little James here doing all this research stuff on the side. I'm at my day job. And then right on the surface, right on the base in front of the headquarters of Naval Air Forces Pacific, we have this white sedan driven presumably by a human military handler and what may be a Nordic alien sitting next to him giving me the evil eye, right? So it just shows you that. You know, these you I mean, they pulled this guy out of the hangar, so to speak, just to mess with me. So it just shows you the juxtaposition and the ease with which this deep black alien element could seamlessly connect with the surface world. But anyhow, we're just getting started. Thank you so much, Evie, for coming on. We got a whole nother segment to go to. Could you tell our viewers and listeners where they can find your work?
Well, I still have my old website, evelorgan.com. And the Telegram channel, Alien Love Bite, I just moved it to public instead of private. So I'm hoping it'll be more accessible. And just my email, and I only have X and Telegram and Reddit and, oh, is it LinkedIn, which I don't use much. I'm just a little bit slow on social media, I have to say. I'm an old timer and I'm working hard on recovering from my own illness, which I've already told you about. So I have to take some time out for a lot more rest But anyway, I'm still available. I'm still seeing clients, so as much as I can. So.
Thank you for that. And to our dear listeners and viewers, if you like what we do, if you believe in what we do, please go to thecosmicswitchboard.com, sign in and become a member. And oh, just like all these other podcasters, please click like and please click subscribe. I had a discussion with my webmaster. It turns out that my channel on YouTube is heavily censored. It's not getting suggestions on other people's channels. It's essentially shadow banned. They're deliberately holding down our views, and they're deliberately preventing this channel on YouTube from wider accessibility, right? So please click like, please subscribe, and please pass it around. You can also find the Cosmic Switchboard on Rumble, Odyssey, and
Oh, good.
there's another one I can't remember at the time. But yes, please, if you can do that, dear listeners and viewers, that would help us out greatly because this website, this channel has been heavily suppressed. Not enough people are seeing it, right? So anyhow, we've reached the end of the first segment, and we'll see you at the top of the next segment.